Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to this episode of Astros Baseball, and it's going to be a fun episode to talk about because our Houston Astros not only won a series against the first place team in their division, the Cleveland Guardians, but they looked really good. They look like the Astros. And joining me today, Wally and Steph. Wally, what's up, buddy?
You know, it's a lot more fun to do these podcasts when they're winning, aren't they? I've done a few when they ain't so good.
It was
just a really nice win. They could have swept, but they also could have lost 2 out of 3. So, you know, it's a nice series to see the Astros play the way we know the Astros can play.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was a fun one. I was there for all three, bringing my little sandwiches to the ballpark. I did have the lunch of a kindergartner 2 days in a row, and I regret absolutely nothing about it, let me tell you. Saved myself a good $25 to $30 on food. So.
Oh yeah, you're guessing pretty low on that.
Hey, I only buy like one item in a drink, so for me, it's like not that much usually.
I heard it got pretty.
I'm
ridiculous.
A single household.
I heard the prices are even worse than they were last year.
Oh, of course. Inflation, Rob.
Jeez.
Yeah.
And they got to pay Aramark, I think, is who they still have. So,
not to give anything away, folks, but the Astros lost the second game of the series. I don't know if you know this. You may not know.
I was there.
You may have tuned into the podcast to find out if they won or lost. But here was my thought on game two. After they lost game two, I was like, these guys lost, but they're playing so good, and I'm so happy.
Yeah. The radio guys were saying on Tuesday night or on Wednesday night that the Astros exit velo off McKenzie was 95 miles an hour. I mean, Steph, you were at the game. You know, that ball that Yordan hit to right field was just an absolute rocket. Unfortunately, the right fielder had to maybe move about 6 inches.
Yeah, it was, oh man, they're looking good again, and that's awesome. And like Rob said, even in the second game of the series with the loss, I mean, it was just an incredible play by the Guardians outfielder because, man, I thought that ball by Dubon was going to drop. It looked so perfect. Right in the gap, but they got there. They got the double play, which was, oh, such a bummer. But I mean, Caratini, like, you can't blame him. When you hit a ball like that and you're trying to win a game or at least tie it up, you know, how do you not go for it? I couldn't be mad about it. I really couldn't. And again, they're playing like the Astros again. And that is so nice to see.
I was, you know, it was an aggressive play by Caratini, no question about it. Mm-hmm. With one out, top of the ninth, and you're the tying run, you cannot get doubled off. You just can't. And, you know, it's an aggressive play. Who knows if keep on wanting to say the Indians. I'll probably slip about 6 times and call
it. Plummer said the Indians.
Yeah. But you know, that game on Wednesday night was just one of those that you're going to have where you hit rockets everywhere. The gloves are in the way and you move on to the next day.
Exactly.
All right. So let's talk about this. How happy are you guys that Jose Abreu got sent packing to Florida, and he agreed to it. He's a man enough to say, I need work. So he went to Florida to work on his swing. What's your thoughts on that, Steph?
I am a huge Jose Abreu fan. And I think in a moment like this, he knows he's not doing his job. He's not happy he's not doing his job. I almost feel like he was overworking himself because he wasn't doing his job. And so I think it takes a very big man to sit there and say, hey, you know what? Like, you know, he had to agree to the option and to be humble enough to say, hey, you know, I know y'all aren't happy with how I'm playing right now. Imagine how I feel, that I'm used to being pretty damn good, you know? And for him to say, you know, it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing to not be doing the job that I know I was brought here to do. So I'm happy because I am grateful that he is humble enough to sit there and say, hey, if this is going to help the team, then I'm going to do it. And I thought that was amazing. I'm proud of the guy. And I hope he comes back feeling more like himself, playing like himself, the guy that, again, they brought him to be.
He's got an amazing amount of class to write what he said, write what he wrote, and publish it and have it published. I think Chandler Rome had the article. As you said, he's embarrassed. He always is driven in run. Heat runs. He didn't drive any runs in. This gives him a chance to reset, gives the Astros and Abreu a chance to see if there's anything left in the tank. But I do think that if his agent was doing his job, his agent probably did a once around the major leagues and said, if we refuse this option, is there anybody out here who's going to take me? And you don't think, based on what happened, he probably realized this is his only option. I mean, he's not, to his credit, he does not seem like the kind of guy who just wants to sit back and take a paycheck. There are a lot of major leaguers that would have done that. You know, he's had a great career. You know, he got the big money contract. He could have just gone out and played golf for $19.5 million a year, but he's really given it a chance to see if it's going to be able to be salvaged and help the Astros. I think the big question is going to be, is if they do think there's something salvageable and the team is rolling, what's that going to do to the chemistry when he comes back in? Because somebody's going to have to go.
I don't think he shopped around. I don't think that's true at all. I think he realizes that he has an issue and his play is hurting the team. And he wants to, I don't think he wants to go anywhere. I think he wants to go fix himself and try to help the Astros. I think he's committed to them. But anyway, I'm not upset about it. I think it's a good move. I like it because he's my favorite player. We already discussed that, but it's good. It helps everybody. So I like it.
It is it's the best of all options at this point. He gets to go save face, try to work on some things. The Astros get to put, you know, to put a productive bat in there in the lineup.
Yeah. All right. So before we get talking about this series, if you're listening, you got to stick around because we're going to give that shirt away, especially if you entered. I think we got 6 entries. I kind of lied. I kind of padded it up a little bit. Only 6 of you wanted to win a shirt from Ram Shirts. We're going to give it away. So game 1, Hunter Brown. It started out Hunter Brown-esque, 3-run homer in the first inning. But then what about this? And I'll talk to you first, Wally, because you caught a Bregman home run. But first, before you answer this too, but he had a 3-run homer. I want to know how you felt. And I want to know if, Steffi, can you see what I see with Wally? The guy behind him's hand makes it look like Wally has long hair coming out of the side of his hat.
100%.
It does, actually, right? Yeah. I was like, why?
Actually,
so that's, you got a little. He does. Yeah. I love it.
Now it's the guy to the right. You know, I feel like he's trying to touch my neck to get some divine intervention.
All right, so Breaky Bomb, 3-run homer, and we're tied. So that's really good. And then Lo Perfido. We'll let you guys talk about this guy. RBI single. I believe it was a second at bat, I think.
Was a second at bat.
Second at bat, drove in two runs. What a debut. His family was there. Very happy. Wow, there's so much to unload in this inning. And then Singleton crushed a three-run bomb. So start with you, Steffi. Loperfido, Singleton's three-run bomb. How are you feeling at this moment with these two guys who weren't even really doing anything a week ago? They're helped. They drove in five runs in the fourth inning.
So I don't know if I said it on the podcast, but I know I've said it to other people, specifically about Singleton, that, you know, people are frustrated with, you know, obviously his bat, but he gets the walks. And also, too, with more time playing, you get more comfortable. When you're only playing every couple of days, when you're only getting playing time when some guy needs to sit on the bench, it's going to be tough. Like, consistency is what breeds that comfortability. So I think we're starting to see that with Singleton, and I'm so happy because love that guy. And I've always wanted to see him do big things, especially, you know, back in, what was it, 2014. When he came up the first time, I wanted him to be the guy then. So to see him coming through for the team was amazing. And then Loperfido, I mean, you got to be hyped for the guy to just come in, get his first hit out of the way in his first game, because doesn't always happen. And yeah, I'm excited to see what kind of spark he can bring to this team. So I think he's going to be really, really fun to watch. He was so fun to watch in the minors, and I hope that that translates to the big leagues for him, because, I mean, any spark the Astros can get is a good one.
Yeah, he showed a pretty good all-around game. And I think, Rob, you've got something to talk about later about his fielding, which won't get too much into it. But he looked like he belonged out there. A couple of hits, nine at bats, not over the top, but he got that first hit out of the way to where you're not sitting around four and five games and thinking if he's ever going to get one and it starts to press.
Talking about Loperfido?
Yeah.
Yeah. So John Singleton, I was watching the game yesterday. I didn't see it today because I had to do my own game, but I was watching John Singleton, and then I got the alert that he did something today, and I'm like, if he plays like this, it is going to be tough to bring Jose Abreu back and take this dude out. It's going to be a tough decision.
Well, he also made a great defensive play tonight.
Huge.
Huge defensive play. Made a great stretch on Pena's jump throw. We're talking about Abreu's hitting, but, you know, Singleton is by far a better fielder than Abreu. Also, he brings these left-handed, so he can make the throw that a little easier than Abreu can. You know, we just hope the best for both of them, but it's really cool to see Singleton come all the way back.
Oh, yeah. So in the sixth inning, so we're winning 8-3, and I know we're all three feeling good at this time. In the sixth inning, that's when Hunter Brown kind of gets blown up. I believe Montero comes in and gives up a home run. Combined between those two guys, five runs for the Guardians, and they tie it up 8-8. And then we go to the 10th inning, and Cleveland brings in the ghost runner, and I'm like, here we go. We're going to go into the 10th inning, and we're going to fail to score. And almost the moment of the year, I can't think of anything better so far. It was pretty awesome. Caratini, a rope to right field, game over. What'd y'all think about that? How amazing was that moment?
The best part was listening to Blum say, "Go ball." he hit that ball. He was go ball, and it was it had like a 19 degree launch angle. It was a seed.
Yeah,
it was. If we'd lost that game, that second game of the series, or that first game of the series, I would have put that on par with Presley blowing that lead against Nationals. I mean, those are the types of games when you're trying to, you think you're trying to put things back together. You got a couple of wins in Colorado, you're getting yourself straightened up, and then you have something devastating like that. You know, who knows? You know, you lose this, you could get swept in this series because you get so down, but you know, good on them for coming back.
Yeah, I think one thing that I had tweeted about the other day when that game happened is this is the type of Astros team that we're used to. They were down by 3 runs. They came back and tied it up. They went ahead. Guardians tied it up. Guardians got ahead. And the Astros didn't sit back and, you know, just let it happen. They fought back. We had, who was it, Dubon at third already?
Yeah. Dubon was at second, I think.
Dubon, obviously, in scoring position, something like that. I think someone was on third yesterday. That might have been what it was. But anyway, so, you know, we have these guys in a great position. And then kind of the unlikeliest of guys, pinch hitter, comes in and just hits a rocket. And I went crazy. It was amazing. It was awesome to see this team play the way that we're used to seeing them play. It felt like an Astros game from 2022. You know what I mean? Maybe without the getting tied up that much, but at the same time, it was awesome to see them fight back. Awesome to see them down to their last out and make it happen. And again, that's the team that we're used to. And we got to see that little spark again. And I mean, games like that can change a season one way or the other. Like you said,
right?
They can give you the utmost confidence and they can drag you down to feel pretty awful if you lose that one. So the fact it came out on our end, amazing.
We have a tough homestand right now, and it's a good start. Hunter Brown, 5 1/3 innings, 5 hits, 6 runs.
But yeah, something about Brown is he gave up 3 in the beginning, but he held it. He pitched really well until the sixth. You wonder if he should take him out. Someone said, should they take him out? He's not done well. He only had about 75 pitches, maybe 80 pitches. If you're going to get him to be a frontline pitcher, he's got to learn. These young pitchers need to learn how to pitch themselves out of trouble.
Yes, they do. Yeah, so he gave up the all the runs at the beginning, but he got it together. And yeah, I was pretty happy about his performance holding it together, but then
it's just a flare. It was a Crawford box flare by Josh Naylor. It was not a big bomb.
All right. Montero, 2/3 of an inning, gave up 2 runs. This is good in game one. Abreu, Presley, and Hader, who threw 2 innings and got the win, 4 innings, 1 hit, no runs, and 4 strikeouts. This is the kind of game we want to see. We want to see a lot of runs. We want to see a comeback. We want to see all of this stuff, and we want to see those 3 guys do very well. Altuve, so many stats. Altuve, 2 for 5. Bregman had a 3-run homer. Tuck, 2 for 3. Pena, 2 for 4. Who else? Singleton had a 3-run homer. And then Caratini had that 2-run bomb and extra innings. 5 for 11, runners in scoring position. 7 left on base. They scored 10 runs and had 12 hits. So great win.
Something I've been watching I've been kind of running like a ratio of runners left on base to the numbers of runs. In the beginning of the season, they were between two and three. They got it, you know, maybe down as low as 2, but now you're seeing them more consistently get down to say one run man left on base to how many runs, even up to the number of runs. And if you can get that, that's winning baseball.
Oh, yeah. All right, so let's look at game 2. Cleveland had a solo home run. That Kwon dude had a triple. We're down 2-0. But we make a comeback. Altuve drove one in. Tucker had a home run in the 7th. We go to extra innings again. And this is what y'all spoke about earlier. Caratini was on 2nd. The ball looked like it was going to drop. He made a judgment, you know, a judgment call. I think it's going to fall in. He put his head down, you know, and that was it. But
Steph, did you think Kwon was going to catch that ball?
Not at all.
See, yeah. We had a look at it, and you could see him coming in, and I was like, oh, right before he caught, I was like, oh crap, he's going to catch that ball. You know, you could see him. We could see about 10, 15 yards out that he was going to catch that ball, and then, you know, it's just. How it goes. The guy made a great play. They flashed some leather this weekend. Give Cleveland some credit, man. Tonight, we'll talk about tonight's game. But look, the first two games, first two batters of the night, they just rocket balls to shortstop.
I love it. Yeah, game two was definitely, again, kind of a nail-biter. Fact that, again, this team is at the top of their division and the Astros had them on the ropes for a little bit and then obviously, unfortunately, did not go in our favor with that last play. But, man, was it a fun one.
Yeah, well, the Astros hit the ball hard all night, but Tristan McKenzie was really good. He hit, he kept us off balance with his curveball. All of his breaking pitches, the Astros were in front of it all night. You know, just one of those games. You're not going to win every one of them. You got a team on the other side that's trying to win too, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like I said, it was a good game. We lost, but I was like, I'm happy with that loss because this team looks good.
I'm never happy with a loss. I'm a miserable son of a gun when we lose.
We are very different people, Wally. Let me just say that.
I mean, I'm not happy that they lost, but I'm happy the way they were playing.
Yeah.
JV, what about JV? 7 innings, 6 hits, 2 runs.
JV was really good.
I love that man.
Montero, Presley did great. And then Dubon got thrown to the Wolves there in the 10th inning or whatever you call that. Dubon 2 for 4, Altuve 1 for 4, drove in 1, Tucker had a home run. The Astros 1 for 8. So it was there. It was there. They could have scored more. 1 for 8 with runners in scoring position. They left 5 on base. And they
Breggy popped up first, bases loaded in the 8th inning and with 1 out. And popped up to the second baseman. He did that several times this series. And, you know, one of the things we're looking at, you wonder if there's going to have to be something done about moving Bregman out of the two hole because he's killing rallies. But one thing I was kind of interesting about with Dubon gave up the loss, but Dubon had given up 1 run and he had bases loaded and nobody outs, and he didn't give up any more runs. The guy had his, you know, you got to give him a lot of credit for the poise that he showed and not completely falling apart.
Yeah.
I don't know what Miller said to him when he went out to the mound, but whatever he said, say it every time, Miller. I don't know what he bribed him. I don't know if he told him, I'll get you Vic and Anthony's if you can just not give up another run. I don't know, but whatever he said.
It worked.
Props to Miller.
It worked.
It did. It sure did.
The double play saved the game. All right, so game three was Spencer Arrighetti. And I'm not going to lie, when I saw this matchup and I saw the man Hunter Brown and Arrighetti, I was like, we're going to be lucky to get one of these. But they weren't playing like this when I thought that. I'm so excited. I mean, they do. The Astros have a history of playing up to the competition, and they played a good team. They played really well. But top of the third, Cleveland jumped up on them 2-0. The Astros scored on a pass ball 2-1, and then Singleton does what Singleton does, a 2-run bomb. We're up 3-2.
Yeah, that was that home run is very reminiscent of Carlos Correa's World Series home run. I didn't know if it was going to hit the seats behind the fence or the roof first.
Well, and I think
behind the fence,
the seat, you know, you hit the right field seats. I didn't know if it was going to hit the crowd or the roof first. Because was up. It was like a 40-degree. It was like a 40-degree launch angle.
It was wild, but also too crazy thing with Singleton ball getting stuck in the rafters today, and then he works. What was it? Works a walk.
Yeah,
I think it was. You know, and then he ends up. And then he ends up scoring on the pass ball to get us that first run.
And that was a great read. That was a super read on that pass ball.
Perfection.
You got to go right away. If you wait just even little bit, you're DOA.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I would love to say that this was kind of the John Singleton game today. It really was. I mean, he got everything started. He got that first run in, got the homer to get him ahead. And I mean, he made some great defensive plays today. It was awesome to see him really coming into his element today and looking like that guy, you know? So well, it was
it had to be his game because Julia interviewed him after the game.
Exactly. Exactly. It's John Singleton's world today, folks, and we're just living in it.
Yeah, we're just trying to get a nut. All right. So the game is close. It is still close.
Can't stand you, Rob. I can't stand you.
It's still close. It's 3-2 going into the seventh, and the Astros just explode. Altuve drove in one. Pena got hit by a pitch with the bases loaded. Diaz drove in two. And then Mr. Singleton topped off the game with a sac fly. Spencer Arrighetti, 5 2/3, 4 hits and 2 runs. Hats off to you, young kid. You are looking so much better than game one. And I know it's, I think it would have to be way harder, like for a young kid to come up and pitch against these guys. I don't know. I think maybe it would be easier. What do you think it would be easier to be the Joey Loperfido debut or Arrighetti's debut? Which one do you think would be easier? They'd both be pretty difficult.
Yeah, I think they'd both be pretty difficult. For me, it'd be tougher for a pitcher because you're out there all the time. Yeah. And if you're a batter and you strike out, you know, you go back in your box and you sit and you figure out what happened and you come back and try to do it again. If you're a pitcher and it's tough, man, ain't nowhere to hide. you're just gonna have to take it, son. You just gotta take it, son.
Yeah. And also, too, if you're a hitter, it's like you hope that you can go out there and make a cool defensive play that maybe makes you not look as bad. You know,
that's right.
Oh, he struck out, but he made that really cool play off the wall earlier, so it's okay.
That's right.
And boy, I forgot about that.
I know.
That was the play of the year.
That play was
sick. Beautiful.
Oh,
About Loperfido's play off
the wall.
Yeah. That was. God, it's like he's been playing in that left field his whole life. The way he played that ball off the wall, it was
You know,
chef's kiss.
We were at the game too, Steph, and we were disappointed you didn't come by and see us, but that's okay. we were both saying the same thing. He acted like a 10-year vet playing that wall. It looked like Michael Brantley.
It was wild.
He made a perfect throw to Pena.
Mm-hmm.
So Scott pitched an inning in the third. Again, I keep forgetting we have this dude on the team. He picks up the win.
First major league win, guy.
First major league win. My boy Magic Man, 2 innings, 3 hits, and no runs. Magic Man has a 2.08 ERA this year. I'm real proud of how he's doing. Altuve, 3-for-5, drove in a run. Pena, 2-for-3 with the walk. And Singleton, 2-for-3, drove in 3, scored twice. The dude's hitting 275.
Yeah. You know, the guys on the broadcast, TK and Blum, had a great observation about the bullpen. It's by being able to throw Scott, being able to throw Martinez, you stayed away from Abreu, you stayed away from Presley, you stayed away from Hader. You know, Espada was really managing to get this thing, get all the guns ready for Seattle because that's going to be a big series. And they're bigger because we only get them twice in town rather than three as like we used to.
Well, speaking of series, we got to give everybody the Ram shirts, player of the series. We also have to do fair or foul, and we're going to give the shirt away. But we're going to do that right after this.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
All right, we're back. It is time for the players of the series. We got pitcher, position player, and Coach Rose. I had a pitcher, and then when I got to the Rose, I changed it, and I went back. But anyway, let's start with Steffi. Who do you have as pitcher?
God, pitcher, I feel like I have to go Verlander, even though he didn't get the win. I think seeing him out there and the way he pitched was just incredible. He looked like vintage JV, and, you know, it was good to see, and especially too when we have so many guys who are right about to come off the IL, to have a guy like that who's going to be the anchor, and then, you know, hopefully these other guys come back nice and healthy, and that's going to help even more. But to see JV pitch the way he did, I feel like I got to give it to JV, even though he didn't get the win.
Wally?
The whole bullpen. The entire bullpen. Montero had hung that one changeup, but outside of that, that was the only earned run for the entire series. They've pitched 11 innings, gave up two earned runs. They got a 1.64 ERA with a 1.36 whip. You do that all season, you're going to win a lot of games.
Wally's numbers. I got to agree with Steph. JV, seven innings. I mean, no one else went seven innings. What do you only allow two runs, right?
Yeah.
JV. I didn't want to get into him, but
Brennan hit a home run, and how else did they score? They got Brennan hit that big home run to center field, and they got another scratch run.
All right, now we got position player of the series. It should be only one guy, and if you don't have that guy, you better explain why you don't have John Singleton, who is my player of the series offensively. Yeah.
Trey Cabbage, because he got in the game.
Wally just wants to shake things up for no reason, I see. Oh, no, absolutely. John Singleton was just incredible this series. Again, that consistent playing time is really showing how well it's helping him to really dial in. And, man, just a few really big games from this guy, and it was amazing to see.
Yeah, let's make it three. It's not just because he's a great story, but he played well in every facet of the game. He hit, you know, his first up, I think his first at bat or maybe second at bat, you know, he just hits that little bleeder to third base and gets a hit, doesn't give up the at bat, you know, hits the home run and plays great defense. And then he had his great base running on the pass ball.
He did great. All right, Coach Rose winner. Who do you got, Wally?
Let's see. Who's going to be my Coach Rose winner? I'm going to say Arrighetti because he was on the ropes. You wondered if he was going to be the guy that would come out and go full Hunter Brown and give up three runs in the first inning. And then he'd be scrambling the rest of the game. He came out, yeah, he gave up a couple of runs, but I never felt that he wasn't in control. Never felt that he was about to give it up. And I thought he pitched great. I thought Espada made the right move to take him out when he did. He had pitched well. You wanted to make sure he went out on a good note and let Scott come in and finish up the inning, and that's what he did. And I thought he played great. Spencer pitched really well.
Steffi.
I have Victor Caratini. I think Victor's home run in that first game really set the tone for the entire series. I mean, again, how pinch hitter, just last out and everything too. I mean, it was just incredible. And I think the Astros needed a spark in that moment. And Victor Caratini was that guy.
And no question that with they the first game against the Nationals, if they come back and make a run, there's a couple of games you look back and say, this is when it could have really gone off the rails, and they snatched one. And they definitely snatched one on Tuesday.
I had Spencer Arrighetti.
Yeah, what's wrong with you, Steph?
I actually had Spencer Arrighetti.
Y'all are the wrong ones.
I had Spencer Arrighetti as my pitcher. And then when I got to the Rose, I was going to give it to Caratini. And I was like, well, I didn't expect Arrighetti to do that. And JV threw seven innings. I mean, he deserved it. So I switched it around. But I almost agreed with y'all. So anyway, the Astros are now 11-20. Seattle 17-14. Texas 17-15. Oakland 15-17. The Astros are now tied for fourth, folks. We're no longer in fifth. So hallelujah for that. All right, fair or foul, I want to give the shirt away.
You're running the show, so you decide.
Give the shirt away. I decided.
All right, okay. So we got six people here, folks. Six people. We've got Charles, Carla, Ty, which it looks like Tish, but I know the guy. He's already won stuff already before. Daryl, Marty, and Craig. You are the six contestants on Win a Shirt from Ram Shirt. So I'm going to hit this button here.
You shouldn't have said that.
Oh, it's spinning.
Ty's won it's things spinning. Before because now spinning. It's going to be rigged.
I cannot see who won. Charles. You're the winner.
Yay, Charles.
Hey, Charles.
Charles, you win a shirt from Ram Shirts. I'll email you the what is it called? The details. Way to go, Charles.
Yay, Charles. Grant,
our first winner. Charles, way to go. All right, y'all ready for this fair foul action?
Da-na-na,
sure.
No.
Okay, me and Steffi had a lot of fun with the fair foul in the last one.
We did. Too much fun, I think.
We did. I think we carried on a little bit, but here we go. Number one. And some of this we may have touched, but you can touch on a little more. Fair or foul, you are comfortable with John Singleton being our first baseman moving forward.
Go ahead, Steph.
Either one of y'all.
Fair. I have full confidence in John. I think he could do an incredible job at first base. I think he is making a case for that exact thing right now. And I mean, again, it's going to be interesting if when Abreu comes back to see how that plays out, if he continues to do what he's doing. But defensively, he's looking incredible. He's making those stretches. I mean, he's been awesome. And then, of course, too, the bat coming alive a little bit more, because I think these were his first two home runs of the season, if I'm not mistaken. And I mean, he gets the walks and he helps to get those runs in. So I think he's making a huge case for himself to be that guy.
I'm going to say fair, but I want to ask me in 2 weeks, because he's going to be exposed for
You're
the
so
first
negative.
Time. You know, but it's just real. I mean, they've got a book on him, but one thing Singleton does do is he gives you a really good at bat.
Yeah.
You know, I think as long as we don't set our expectations too high and expect him to be, you know, Keith Hernandez, you know, he'll be just fine. With what we've seen in this series, it's no longer a hole. Our hole is Bregman popping up. Bregman's got to get himself right.
Well, he did have a three-run homer.
That's the only hit he had all series.
I didn't know that. All right. So I say fair. And here's my little tidbits. I don't have any tidbits, so I don't know what to call it. But here's my thoughts on John Singleton. I agree with what Steffi said earlier. This guy needs to play more. If playing once or twice a week, usually just once, when Abreu gets a day off, you're not going to get in a rhythm. He got in a rhythm in AAA, and look what he did. And look what he's doing now. He's got the playing time. He knows he's probably going to start every game. I don't know. I mean, look what we had and look what we got now. That's why I'm pretty comfortable with it. 275.
Yeah, I think you got to give Joe a spot. And people have been kicking around a spot. He's kind of become a punching horse. It would have been so easy to bring Loprofito up and stick him at first base because they've had so much problem. He put Loprofito out where he was comfortable. He let Singleton play where he's been comfortable. Everybody performed.
All right. So we all say fair, and Wally says fair with negativity. All right. Number two.
Fair with a chance to do a redirect in 2 weeks.
Fair with a chance of meatballs. All right, fair enough. Our brains
on the same page all the time because I thought that too. I was thinking the same thing.
Oh, you were Steffi?
Yeah, because of the movie Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. Yeah. All right, number two, Joey Loprofito is here to stay. Jump on it, one of you.
I'm going to say fair. I think he's shown that he can handle the pitching. Strikeouts are going to be a concern, but the thing that was most impressive to me is the way he played left field. We talked about a little earlier. There are a couple of plays that were tough, could have been tough, and he made them look pretty easy. That play that he made, we talked about it, that he played off the wall and threw the guy out at second trying to stretch it for a double was all-star stuff.
Yep.
The way when you see him in left field, not just that he got the ball, it's the way he moved the ball, the way you could tell that there was no issue. He knew exactly where it was. There was one ball that was hit to him against the left field foul ball, and he handled that just like a veteran. He's here to stay. He should be here to stay. Doesn't mean he won't ever go back down again, but he looks like he belongs.
I'm going to say fair with a chance of meatballs, but not for the reason you think. For the reason that I think, first of all, I think he's here to stay. And I think we have not seen his best stuff. And I think eventually he's going to be hitting a ton of meatballs out of the ballpark. And I can't wait to see that.
Ooh, the good meatballs.
Hey, the good meatballs. What meatballs are bad? Come on. They're no bad meatballs.
On his two hits, that ball jumped off the bat.
Oh, yeah.
It just jumped.
He is. I forgot what I was going to say. I don't know what I was going to say. All right. It was coming out that I had to stop. Okay. Number three. Now we're going to have some fun. We're going to get to know Wally a little better.
Okay.
And you, Steph, and myself. Number three. We'll start with, who do I want to start? I'm going to start with Steffi. Fair or foul, you would use your significant other's toothbrush.
No. Foul. Nope.
Big no. I would. That's a big fair on me because I hate dirty teeth.
You would use hers?
Oh yeah. If I needed to brush my teeth, wash it out, you know, put hot water on it, put toothbrush on it, clean it out when I'm done, give it back to her.
I would use my wife's toothbrush. Fair.
But see, y'all are also with significant others. I'm not. So maybe with comfortability, maybe I'd get there. I still don't think so, though. Because think about it. You don't like dirty teeth, but that toothbrush is going against her dirty teeth.
Yeah, but you're kissing.
Can't be any alone. Dirtier than mine.
Wally. All right.
Save it for the After Dark show, Wally.
We should have one of those.
Would be so much fun.
The Astros After Dark. It would have to be mixed with some libations to really make it fun.
All right, number four. You would tell your coworker that they have bad breath. Coworker's got bad breath. Would you tell them?
Which coworker?
Doesn't matter. Fair or foul, you would tell your coworker that they got dragon breath.
I would say foul.
People blow bad breath on me all day long at work, and I'm not going to tell them.
See, I've had like coworkers that are my best friends, and like my best friend coworker, I'd be like, girl, you got to brush them teefies, you know? But like, or like, hey, like pop in some gum. Like, I know you ate onions with lunch, like pop in a piece of gum, girl. But no, but I don't know. Someone who I'm not super tight with, it would feel uncomfortable. Yeah, I don't think I could do it.
It's hard. But then my mom would just hand you some gum and say, trust me. that's what she would say. Trust me.
Actually, that's a pretty good method though. It's not
she's like you want some gum? And they're like, no, thank you. And she's like, trust me.
Actually, I kind of like that because it's not in an embarrassing way. It's kind of like, hey, I'm not going to tell you you have bad breath, but like you do. So please take this. Please take this peace offering for everybody.
You're trying to help them.
Well, you kind of wonder too, like, are you doing people a disservice by not telling them? And then they're they became the laughing stock of the office. Like,
I think the operative phrase is,
and then I have to live with that.
Yeah. I think the operative phrase is, you'll thank me later.
Yeah. I can't tell them. I don't even think I'd tell my wife if her breath stunk.
If it was like Steffi said, if it was a really good friend and we were there and a dude is like, dude, yo.
Yeah. It's like, dude, your breath stinks so bad. I look forward to your farts.
Yeah. See, I'm going to say on the line for this one. Ooh. On the line.
That would be like, tell him it's not the smell. It's the burning of my eyes.
All right. The final one, folks. Final one. If you caught a foul ball or a home run, you would give it to a kid.
Well, I will tell you, first person experience, the answer was no, because it's still upstairs.
Yeah. I can tell you too. Nobody's getting that ball.
Yeah, no. About late June of 18, a buddy of mine and I were out. You know, we went out. We normally buy the cheap seats and go out to the Budweiser Plaza, but Toronto was in town, and so I talked to this guy Val, and said, Val, let's sit in the Crawford boxes, and so we hung around there and moved around two or three places. And he asked me, I said, why did you bring in your glove? And I said, like, Val, the balls come screaming out there. And so bottom of the eighth inning, Tim Mays is pitching for Toronto. And Bregman just hits one of his screamers. I mean, one of those that probably doesn't go all that far, but it doesn't go down very fast either. And he snagged it right in front of Val's face. So I saved him a lot of dental work.
Wow.
And it's and a young kid to the left of me asked, you know, said, could I have? And I said, you know, man, 57 years old at the time. I said, I've been waiting a lifetime for this thing. So sorry, but I'm keeping this one.
Kids.
I'm a girl, so it's impressive if I catch a foul ball at all. I kind of butterfingered it. I would butterfinger it and just be like, ugh. So if I do catch it, ain't no way I'm giving it to a kid. No shot. Now, if it's like the second ball I've caught that day, absolutely. Here's a souvenir. But
yeah,
you know,
I was behind home plate one time. I think, I don't know, a little behind the dugout, not that far back. And the ball goes straight up. It starts coming down. I'm on the aisle. So I get out on the aisle, I hold my hand out to catch it, and I can hear it. And I went, no way. Breaking my hand to catch a ball.
Nope.
No, I would. That ball that came out, I would not have put. I probably would have, but I would have regretted it later because that ball was screaming.
Oh, yeah.
Screamer.
Gotten hit by a home run ball, though.
You have?
Yeah. When I worked for the Hooks. I was out there giving I was in the outfield, like where they have these like rocking chair seats, and I was giving away a prize pack. So it was a long inning. Me and the person that was winning the prize pack were sitting there talking, and we hear the ball hit the bat, and we're like, oh no, where's this going? And we see it. And by the time that we realize where it's going, if I had moved, I would have fallen into the berm. And he went the other way, but I didn't think to go the other way. So I basically just accepted my fate. I put my shoulder up. I went like this and it hit me right here on my hand and on my arm, and had a nice little bruise for a while. It was really fun. I enjoyed that.
Tis just a flesh wound.
I was the big money play of the game though. So that was cool.
So I was sitting now. This is my final thought, because we need to end this. So I was sitting behind the Astros dugout, and Yuli Gurriel hits a foul ball, a screamer, to quote my boy Wally here. The guy in front of me raises his arms up, and then all of a sudden you hear the ball bouncing around behind me in the stairs. And I tried to get it, but the guy behind me got it. I was like, man, that sucks. Few seconds later, I was like, ouch. And my arm started killing me. So I look over at the rail and there's a big white spot. That ball went through that dude's arm, hit the rail, and hit me in the shoulder.
Wow.
And all I could think is like, what if that thing would have hit me in the face? So close. So close. That was my foul ball moment. Final thoughts.
Yeah. Go ahead, Steph.
Wally just wants to have the last word. I see. I'm kidding. No, I think I'm really excited that obviously Astros had a really great series and against a very tough team. So that was super exciting to see. It's exciting to see them play like the team we know that they are, because these are the Astros that we know they are. And it'll be interesting to see if we can make up some ground against the Mariners this weekend. I think they have to continue playing this same brand of baseball, and they have to be confident, and they have to go in it feeling good. So, I mean, it's anybody's game at this point in the West. I think there's plenty of opportunity. We just have to take it.
Yeah, I've got just a couple thoughts. First thought is that we got to get Breggy right. You know, Breggy he's got to get out of the two spot. He's killing too many rallies. The idea of having somebody at the top of the lineup that they get more at bats. Well, Bregman's is popping everything up, and it's gotten in his head. Maybe he needs to move down to relax. The second thing is big series this weekend. The Mariners have the top pitching staff in the league in baseball. They're going with Kirby Gilbert and Bryce Miller. They're all good pitchers. All of them, Kirby has a little bit higher ERA just simply because he had one bad outing. But, you know, the season kicks it into another level this weekend, because you're getting outside of the Rangers. We haven't played anybody else in our division yet. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you got to don't have to win them all, but you got to win series.
Yep. Keep winning series, and eventually we'll catch up.
Yep.
But I don't know. Does it still have the Astros pitchers are? Because we should have Framber and Blanco in these games.
Yeah, we've got Blanco on Friday night. They've got Framber on Saturday, and they're going to Brown on Sunday. They thought maybe Javier would be ready, but he's going out for a rehab.
Well, I like.
I would expect that leash on Hunter to be really, really short.
Steph, are you done? Have anything else?
Nah, that's all.
Nah. It's 11:43. We've done enough damage for the day.
All right. All right, that's it, folks. Thanks for tuning in. And once again, if you're watching the video, Ram Shirts winner, Charles P., I will get a hold of you to figure out what shirt you want. So for Wally and Stadium Steffi, we'll see you next time on Astros Baseball.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.